Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Third hour, hour number three, TK and Tierney company for the TK and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios, who found a better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Third hour here, TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM. Channel 206. We've got DJ Moore coming up next segment. Good wide receiver. I know we focus on McCaffrey with the Panthers. He's evolved into a pretty good receiver, very good, for the Carolina Panthers. And they are in the story, in the news. They're a pertinent team right now, not for their winning ways, but for the decision to fire Ron Rivera.
Yep.
As you and I spoke about yesterday, it actually broke during the show, and we spent a pretty good amount of time on it. You know, Ron Rivera is a guy, and I want to determine if I'm selling him short. You know, he's won the Coach of the Year award twice.
Yep. Which is not easy to do.
No. He's made the playoffs four times in nine seasons. So a little less than half the time in a good division, in a good conference. You look at this differently than I do because you played.
Yeah.
I mean, is Ron Rivera a huge asset to a franchise, or is he just a decent coach?
No, how would you frame him? I think he's a great coach.
Great,
yeah. Look, BT, in the NFC South, up until he got there, no team had won back to back division titles in that division. It just didn't happen. He won three in a row, and one of those teams was almost undefeated in the regular season. And think about what he did it with. Obviously, it was defense because that for the a lot of their really, I guess, team history, because it goes back to the mid-90s, late 90s, it was defense, defense, defense. And then they get Cam Newton, who at the time was unconventional as a quarterback, right? And has a big cannon of an arm, but runs a lot, and coned him and this offense into let's play smart football, not turn the ball over, use our athleticism, our best asset, who is a big, you know, tall, strong running back or our quarterback in Cam Newton. To get to a Super Bowl. Now, that Super Bowl was it ended up being, you know, a loss for them. But, I mean,
it was one possession game with
exactly.
4 or 5 minutes to go. Cam Newton had a chance to jump on that loose football.
Exactly
he
right.
said, I'm going the other way.
So he very easily could have been
a champion
head coach.
Yep.
So given, I think, what was given to him, he did a heck of a job in Carolina. And so let's get this straight. This is not about him being a bad coach. This is about David Tepper, who's the new owner, wanting to bring his own people in.
I agree.
And put his own imprint.
Nope.
And he opportunistically took this moment right now to fire Ron Rivera because of where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Lots of injuries. Cam Newton's out. Defensively,
Allen regressed, although he had a decent game again. But he had about 3 weeks where he really regressed after
right?
a good start.
Which means they've gotten one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Christian McCaffrey is still great, he's Christian McCaffrey. The last couple of games have been pedestrian relative to his production.
Yep.
And I know this is because he's on my fantasy team. So
would you finish up your playoff team? Right,
I am a playoff team,
right.
But like his number is like 30 every week, and last week it was like 12 or 15.
Yeah,
so it just tells you.
Yeah.
You know, you start to figure out how to stop this team.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a four-game losing streak.
Yep.
It just makes sense.
Yep. Start
the process early. As we talked about yesterday, BT. Now, anybody they talk to, whether it's on the NFL coaching carousel or the college ranks, knows that it's for real. And so it was actually smart. I mean, it sucked because Ron Rivera gets fired midseason, and it'll be historically remembered. Man, he's fired it for, you know, after the 12th game. But I think it's a bigger story than it simplistically sounds.
Yeah, and that's why when I first heard the news, again, we were trying to disseminate this in real time. I said yesterday, and then as time, you actually brought up a really good point I hadn't considered. I said, you know, I thought they did him a little bit dirty here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for all of his accomplishments, the Super Bowl appearance, you know, the four playoff appearances, 76 wins, most by any coach in Panthers history by far.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that they really should have given him the option to finish out the season. It was all speculatory at this point. I didn't know if they did. But then you brought up the point, you know, which I just reiterated. it does give them a chance to start the process because there's going to be possibly a lot of blue blood prominent jobs open. Garrett probably gone with the Cowboys. Shermer probably gone with the Giants. And there'll probably be a few other jobs that have real appeal to them. And you better get a jump start because the Panthers aren't the Cowboys in terms of that cachet. They're not the Giants. They need to be very swift and very intelligent how they pursue this. So to give themselves a month's head start makes more sense now that I went through the process.
Yeah, agreed.
And I didn't really think that right away yesterday.
Yeah, and the follow-up news is that Cam Newton has now elected to undergo surgery to repair. I think it's some sort of plantar fasciitis.
It was the Liz Frank, wasn't it, for a little bit?
That's what we thought it was, but I think it was ultimately was a Liz Frank fracture. And look, Cam has spent a great part of his career being superhuman. I mean, there's a reason that he would when he scored, he'd like rip like he's ripping his shirt off and Superman because he took a pounding for 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, really, as an NFL quarterback. He had a big arm, but he also had a big heart to just carry the team offensively on his back.
And that's a good way to describe it. He did have a big heart.
But it's coming to an end.
Yeah.
And the surgery is probably the last straw. They'll look to move forward. They're going to be in the market for a quarterback next year. Who knows who that's going to be? But at 5-7, I'm trying to like extrapolate where I think they're going to end up drafting, probably in the top 10 somewhere.
Top 10, probably closer to 10, nine or short, right where they had McCaffrey.
That's right. That's
probably
right.
Something like that.
And so there'll be quarterbacks available.
Could they take a flyer on Tua?
Maybe.
Tua comes out and Tua drops and he doesn't go like 1-2, in one of those first few spots and there at the back end.
That Carolina area is SEC country.
It is.
In a sense. So
it's
still
a little ACC country. It's a little mixture, but I hear you.
But it still is a little bit. It's close enough to the South that people make that trip if they want to see Tua and they love Tua. So, potentially. But a lot of that will depend on, obviously, the health post-recovery from his hip surgery that we'll see, I'm sure, in the next 6 or 7 months or so leading up to the NFL draft. But, I could see that happening. They're definitely going to take a quarterback now. And then the surgery for Cam Newton just kind of furthers that.
Could they go for Tannehill, though? They don't have to take a quarterback in the first round.
I mean, but if Tannehill –
or Teddy Bridgewater.
But what are you paying Ryan Tannehill? I mean, that's a great option. I think you're in a bidding war, though, if you go after Ryan Tannehill at this point because there's going to be –
Would you pay him 25?
Probably not. No,
not. Going up. I mean,
it is.
You're not going to pay him 13.
It is.
It's 2020.
I'd probably pay him about 20. I'd probably pay him 20.
But what's $5 million extra for a guy that was above average?
It's a lot.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's a lot. Especially if you have
a lot. I'm not saying it's not impactful. Well, I wouldn't say it's a lot.
If you have a lot of holes to fill in this roster.
I don't think they do.
They don't, but they have depth issues. And I think that comes to bear sometimes.
Yeah, that's where you could disperse $4 or $5 million in backup corners, a backup left tackle. I got you. All right, so but I want to play some sound from Ron Rivera, who was very classy. But I wanted to say this on Cam before I forget. Whichever team pursues Cam, if it's Chicago, we've heard that a lot. Jason Lockenfor has thrown that out there, reported that. I don't know if he's reported that. He speculated on that, though. Not quite as solid as Tiki's report on the Mets, of course, which was ironclad, and he nailed it. But we're still waiting on the Knicks report. Any day you want to drop that, trust me, I'm waiting.
As soon as I hear, you'll be the first to know.
I know. But whichever team makes a move for Cam, based on the murkiness of the foot injury for a speed guy, you better have a backup plan in place.
That's right.
Like, it's not like we got Cam, we have our answer. Well, it's like we have Cam, and we better have a viable backup.
Well, BT, at the beginning of the season, we kind of speculated that Cam might retire. He might just say, I've had enough of this because it's a health thing. This is the Andrew Luck syndrome. Cam made a ton of money because he got one of those $100 million deals. So he made a ton of money.
Yeah.
A lot of it was guaranteed, and he played out a significant portion of it anyways. And so, look, fighting injury, if it's like if you can see the other side of it, like, man, I just hurt my whatever, and I can see the other side of it. I'm going to be healthy in 5 months, and then from there, I'm off and running again. But when you don't really know, he's got a shoulder injury and his throwing shoulder, which was not really the issue, it was his foot. And if you listen to his YouTube page, Cam Newton's YouTube page, he talked about this at the beginning of the season about how his foot was really hampering him and he didn't feel like himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't feel like the explosion and the ability to change direction and be Cam. If that lingers, because you never know with lower body injuries, because you're never off of it.
Yeah.
I mean, he might decide to say, I'm good, man.
It wouldn't stun me. We speculated on that. It wouldn't stun me. All right, Ron Rivera. This is a tough spot to be in. You know, you're there almost a decade. You've won a lot of games, and suddenly you find yourself at a podium speaking about, in past tense, your tenure as the head coach of the Panthers. And he started off, he was asked if he was surprised by the firing.
I was surprised, just because, I mean, if anything, I thought it would happen at the end of the season, to be honest with you. You know, I know you talked about doing some things differently, and I get that. That's part of the business of owning a football team. And at the end of the day, you know, when you lose football games, when you have a chance to win them, that's a tough pill to swallow.
Now, you appreciate the honesty. He said, hey, listen, I thought maybe it would happen at the end of the year. We've talked about that a lot on the show. I was surprised by the timing. You got to appreciate the candor. And then he was asked about, you know, basically just to expound on how proud he was, you know, his proudest moment, his achievements with the Panthers. Here's the head coach, former head coach, Ron Rivera, on that.
I'm proud that I took over a 2-14 team and won back-to-back-to-back NFC division titles, South division titles. I want to reemphasize, I'm proud that I took over a 2-14 team and won back-to-back-to-back.
Boy, that is something worth repeating, because that needs to be in bold and italicized and underscored. That is him getting his little shot of temper right there. All right, I know I got to be the good soldier, but this is what I did. Don't forget it.
But I also think he's just reminding people who look at him and say, like, because of this season, maybe they vaguely remember the Super Bowl year, but it was followed by a subpar, you know, a repeat season. So it just... You forgot that he was really a really good coach. And so to emphasize it is to also say, I'm proud of what I did.
He's patting himself on the back. Yeah, he's got every right to do
it. I'm proud of what I did. Yeah. Don't play it down like I was a bad coach.
That's good. I'm happy that he did that. I thought it came across well. And then he goes back to the well twice.
Yeah.
Back to back to back. All right. So somebody's going to scoop him up. We're going to talk to DJ Moore, Panthers wide receiver, played for Ron, obviously, for a couple of years. Get his thoughts. How stunned was he with the firing? Mm-hmm. Could you see Dallas making a move for Rivera?
Yeah.
Can you see your Giants making a move for Rivera?
I think here's the other thing that is important to point out. A lot of coaches that get fired or become available in middle of the season sign on as consultants or assistants.
Yeah, we have seen that.
And so in some ways...
That's somewhat new, but we have seen that.
But you've started to see it a little bit. So I think he'll be desired by somebody, and he won't be out of work long, unless he wants to be out of work and just
Correct.
Wants to sit at home and do nothing for a little while.
I wouldn't be mad at you, man.
I wouldn't either.
Play a little golf. Get that handicap.
Why not?
Down.
He played. He was head coach for a while. You make good money being head coach.
You're damn right. All right. Coming up, as I said, DJ Moore, Panthers wide out. The situation with the Panthers, and also, does he think his quarterback Cam's going to retire? We'll talk to DJ coming up here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All righty, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227 here on Tiki and Tierney, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. And if you watch the NFL, and let's face it, who doesn't? We all do. You know, there's a whole lot more to the Carolina Panthers offense than just Christian McCaffrey. DJ Moore has developed into a hell of a player.
Yeah.
I mean, he really flashed a year ago, second season out of Maryland, first-round pick. And now, all of a sudden, he's going to fly past 1,000 yards. He's almost there now. I think he's about 20 or 25 yards short. He's a deep threat. I mean, he's a big-time target magnet. He's a really good player. But just out of nowhere, things changed for the Panthers. Head coach fired, as we've discussed. So we have a lot to talk about with the young emerging star. He's with us here, DJ Moore of the Panthers on Tiki and Tierney. DJ, how you doing today? Welcome to the show, buddy. What's happening?
I'm doing very well. A little emotional about the head coach being fired, but it's all going good.
Yeah, well, tell us about that. You guys were surprised, I'm sure, but not like shocked out of this world because of the way the season was going. I'm sure you've met David Tepper, your new owner, and obviously when a new owner comes in, he wants to put his mark on the team. So it's surprising, but not surprising. What was the emotion that's floating around the locker room right now?
It was a bit of a surprise, but we all understand that it's a business. Like, at the end of the day, you have to produce to be able to stay in the league. So when he came in today, he told us that, and everybody just understood what he was saying, and it was on from there. We just know that it was kind of an emotional time before we went to practice, so that was a big deal.
Yeah, how was he? What was his demeanor as he spoke to you all? Because I went through something a little bit like this, DJ, when Coach Fossil was let go after the 2003 season. And
was DJ born yet, by the way?
I don't know if you were at that point. But Coach Fossil actually stayed on. He stayed on for the rest of the season. I guess the mayors kind of gave him the option. So he stayed on, even though we knew he was fired, and it was emotional. What was Coach Rivera like as he talked to you all?
He was emotional. He tried not to be too emotional, but he understood what was going on, and he just knew that the progress that we made as a team is going to be on an upright coming real soon going into next year.
DJ, you know, we can sit here all day and we could say, hey, Ron Rivera was the head coach of the Panthers 9 years, got to the Super Bowl, 4 playoff appearances, bunch of division titles in a row. What we can't really tell everybody is, you know, what he's like behind closed doors, his personality, the real relationship that you had as a young player. I know you have great respect because we know what you tweeted about him.
Yeah.
But what was he like that we might not know on when it wasn't on Sunday, not on game day, every other day? What was he like?
Oh, he was just an awesome guy. But when I got drafted there, we sat down and talked about life and not even football at that point. So just to him just trying to get insight on who I am as a person and who my family is was a big deal to me. But that showed that he cared about my life outside of football.
That's cool. Yeah. I like that. We're talking to DJ Moore of the Panthers, a really good, explosive, ascending receiver. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
All right. Perry Fuel takes over as the head coach, or at least the interim head coach. And as sad as much as it sucks, you guys still have 4 games left to play, and you want to finish the season out right. You've been dominating, as BT mentioned, 74 receptions already, almost 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns, and you're the leading target taker on this team. As this season now progresses forward, what's the mindset of you all, especially the stars, the leaders, and even though you're a young leader on this team, what's your mindset going forward? What's the objective? What are you saying to each other?
We just want to win out right now because we don't want to have a losing streak that keeps going. So the mindset right now is just to take it one game at a time and just win every weekend that we have a chance to play.
Sorry, so DJ, here's what we all want to know. I mean, and again, second year, we get it. We still try to figure your way, even though you have based on the stats, but yeah, it's still very early. So, you know, there's the business of football. There's things that you can't control. I get it. I'm not trying to put you in a rough spot. But it is interesting to, now that we gauge and we have gauged the future of Ron, you know, Ron Rivera, no longer the coach. The other component here is Cam Newton. And we really haven't heard from Cam in a while. We've seen Kyle Allen play. He started very well, as you would expect. He took a step back, and now he's rallying again. Is Cam around day-to-day? Does he interact with the team? Do you get the impression that Cam Newton is still inspired to play football and be the quarterback for the Panthers?
Yes, he comes around. He goes to treatment. We see him. He's in and out of meetings. So on a daily basis, I interact with Cam a lot, whether it's through face-to-face or even text. So
yeah,
to know that he's still involved is like a big deal to everyone on the team because mm-hmm. he's like the bright spot. So that's a good thing.
So he's still the unquestioned leader of the Panthers.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say so.
You know, and we watched him the first 2 games this year, and it was obvious he wasn't right. His mm-hmm. shoulder was jacked up. He had the foot issue, so he lost some of his balance and his speed and his burst, obviously. Now, since this is your second year, you played with him a year ago as well, and I know he was hurt at the end of last year, but at least, you know, 2 years ago in camp and for most of last season, you got to see a different Cam. When the season started, I know you're not going to tell the media this back then, but did you sense that Cam wasn't physically right to start the season?
Oh, this year? No, I didn't know. I just knew we held him out for as long as we could. And then the first game, I just knew he was active. And he looked normal to me, but
yeah,
to him, I guess he figured that he was hurt and it showed on the game.
Yeah. Now, look, we were talking about him earlier in the show, and he's a warrior. Cam Newton is. We know that
yep.
he is. He carried this team for a lot of years, and it's unfortunate that he's down right now. But instead, it's Kyle Allen. We don't know a lot about Kyle Allen. We kind of followed his college career a bit, but he disappeared and he popped back up, and all of a sudden he's a backup. Now he's starting for this Carolina Panthers squad. How is Kyle Allen under center for you guys? Because he's led some pretty impressive drives and some games, and obviously you've succeeded under him. Tell us about Kyle Allen.
Hey, he's just confident. And everything he does, whether it's practice or in the game, he's just going to be confident and understand the game plan and knows where to put the ball or a certain read. So everything he does is just confidence. Like, I've never seen him get shook over something in a game that happened. He just go up there and learn from what he did and just go on to the next play.
It's a pretty good starting point. I mean, you got to have a short memory as a young quarterback. You're going to make some mistakes. He seems pretty resilient. That's DJ Moore, Carolina Panthers wideout. He's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
DJ, you guys have one of the best young groups in football, skill position-wise. Obviously, we all know Christian McCaffrey. He's only 23. You're 22. Curtis Samuel's 23. You guys feel like there's still a lot of space between where you are now and where ultimately your ceiling could go, because it feels that way from the outside looking in.
Yeah, we talk about that on a daily basis to see who can reach their potential each game, to see who makes the most plays each game. It's just like a happy competitive thing that we have week in and week out to see who does the best. So week in and week out, we just raise the ceiling even higher until the end of the game.
All right, let me ask you this. So there's a couple of games to go. You started out with a couple of losses. You guys got hot for a little bit with Kyle. You've obviously been tripped up here, and you've lost a couple of games in a row. You've played some good teams. Who do you think right now, all right? I know your allegiance is the Panthers. The guys goes without saying, you're a Panther. We get that. But you watch the NFL. You know the sport. Who do you think is the best team in the NFL right now?
Ooh, the best team.
Yep, top to bottom. Who do you think, DJ?
I'll have to give it to right now. Besides us, it will be the Ravens. Because to see what they're doing with all their skilled players and Lamar and everybody on the team, their defense, it's just something special to watch right now.
Yeah, both. And that's interesting because you also played the 49ers and you lost to them. So, and the 49ers just played the Ravens. So he's going with the Ravens. That's a good choice, DJ. I can't get mad at you for that.
Look, when you watch,
Ravens look great.
When you watch Lamar, are you as all as we are? I mean, I remember when I was playing, there were some guys that you just looked at and you're like, come on, seriously? Like, really? When I watch Lamar, I'm like, come on, seriously? Do you guys feel that way, even though he's a peer of yours?
Yeah, it's crazy to see what he does to people with his juke moves and his speed.
Yeah.
It's like crazy, so we be in awe, too.
Right, let me ask you this. Before I let you go, how long – now, lucky you have Rutgers in the Big Ten. I mean, otherwise, it would be even worse for – how long does it take before Maryland gets solid footing and really starts ripping off a lot of wins in what is a very tough conference?
Yeah, you still following? Are you still keeping up?
Of course he's still following.
You got to, right?
Yeah.
I'm still keeping up. I would say about a year and a half, like going into the – not this year coming up, but the following year.
Uh-huh.
It should be turned around when we get everybody that we want to stay in the DMV area. And we got the right coach to do it, so – I say a year and a half.
All right, so the Terps are coming. Yeah. Bad to watch out for the Turtles. Yeah, they're coming.
They got that Saban influence. Coach Locksley
from
Alabama, he's there. Yeah. They started out hot, so we'll see.
All right, man. Good. DJ Moore, one of the really – listen, you probably have on it. You know he's good because you play fantasy. One of the really good exploding on the scene receivers. This guy, I see a bunch of Pro Bowls, maybe a couple of old pros in there. DJ Moore could play. Hey, nice chatting with you, man. Thanks for hopping on the show, DJ.
Thank you.
Be good,
you
DJ. Good luck to you.
Seems like a good kid, right?
No, he does. They have a squad full of like,
as you were running through those names, the only one that's old is Olsen, the tight end.
That's right.
I mean, their skill guys are young.
Yeah, I mean, they'll go find somebody to fill Greg's role because I think he's jumping into the booth next year.
He did last year, too.
Yeah, he did last year. Remember,
there's a controversy.
Yeah, they complained about it.
They wanted to sit in the meeting, the production meeting.
Yeah.
I don't blame them.
Look, and I think for this game, the one that he did a couple, whenever it was, maybe 6 weeks ago.
What did they have? Whatever they had. I remember seeing him.
I think he didn't go in the production meeting, and he didn't even go down on the field pregame.
And he still got paid. He's just show up. You don't have to do anything. Just slap on the headsets.
Greg's pretty good.
We could bypass the work.
Yeah, Greg's pretty good.
That's sign me up. That's good. Ack, what's going on, Ack? How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
You getting ready for Man versus Bear?
Yeah.
I am.
I know you are. You going to support me tonight or what?
Maybe.
What do you mean maybe?
You better.
What do you mean maybe? Come on.
But that kind of throw, what was that?
That hit you right in the chest. You dropped
chest.
It.
It was like not even close.
Hey, listen. You should be happy. If anybody should be happy, your Mets finally in a couple of years have some
money.
What do you mean not buying it? He broke the stories right next to you.
I know.
You mean not buying it?
I'm skeptical.
About what?
About the whole thing.
Oh, about them actually spending money after they have it?
We'll see.
I see.
Well, first they have to continue vetting.
That's right.
To make sure, because there's some
indiscretions that have popped up. Why do we need this 5-year? If they're going to go.
Well, listen, they're holding on to a tooth and nail. It's their baby. They don't want to give it up. 5 years. Every Met fan would sign up for 5 years based on the prospects of no years ever giving it up.
A lot can happen in 5 years.
That's true. That's true. All right, let's get Axe update. We'll see what's cooking there. We'll come back. We got the blast for you. Tiki and Tierney, Rich Ackerman right now. Here's Ack.
All righty. Start to wrap it up here on the show. Good Wednesday, Tiki and Tierney. We got the blast on deck. Let's answer our Ask the Pros question of the day, though, before we get to that. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question coming in from JJ at JJ Sport Mo. All right. This one could be an interesting one. If you want a big Powerball lottery jackpot, I like the – all right, these are the kind of questions I like. And wanted to become a sports owner in one of the big four major sports, what sport would you choose as either partial, majority, or outright owner? Go ahead, T. First crack.
Basketball is fun.
Okay.
Like those partial owners, those minority owners, they have like tons of fun because they walk around like kings and they hang out with the kings.
That's right.
The $300 million guys. I'd go NFL. It's so complicated.
You gotta go NFL from
it's so complicated, and to like think about how to make it successful is the challenge I think I would want to undertake. I wouldn't want to just hang out and have fun. I'd want to like really have to dig into it. I'd say football.
All right. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, who your car care needs, guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
You're definitely going basketball.
You know I'm going basketball. I mean, you think about the day-to-day, and again, you know I love baseball, but the day-to-day monotony of a baseball season. That would seem a little laborious.
Yeah.
Basketball, you're playing three times a week for the most part.
I don't know. Basketball, I mean, baseball could be nice, though.
But it's what I know best, so I think I'd be good at it.
I mean, I'm not even talking about that. Like, just going to the ballpark every afternoon. Like, it gets cold at like certain parts of the
season.
Every
night, you're there 4 or 5 hours.
True, but I mean, you're just hanging, man.
I hear you.
I mean, again, I don't go to a ton of baseball games, but when I do, I just marvel at like the pristine like nature of the field.
Oh, there's nothing like walking into a baseball stadium.
It's
a really
nice
one.
Gorgeous.
Oh
man.
God, it's like a drug. No, I'm not saying it's not awesome, but
it's like licensed to just have a beer and chill.
You know my answer. Yeah. It would be to take over the Knicks and to finally get them right, to finally stabilize them, to finally get rid of the stench that has suffocated that place for decades. It would be the Knicks.
Yeah.
It would be the NBA. Then again, you know, the thing about the NFL, too, I feel like it's your team, but it's more like the NFL brand. I think you have more of an identity if you own a basketball team or a baseball team. I don't know. Maybe that's not accurate, but I just feel like the ownerships are overshadowed by the shield.
Yeah, but think about how many basketball owners we actually know.
Like, well, we know Ballmer.
We know Ballmer because he's a billionaire.
Yeah,
you know
We do Paul Allen from Portland Trailblazers.
But again,
of course, passed away.
A billionaire from Microsoft.
And we know him for
both
other
of those
reasons,
guys.
Too.
But still,
there's
not a ton of basketball owners that you see their faces. Like, you know who they are. I mean, Cuban is because he's so loud and he's public and he has Shark Tank, so you see him all the time. Dolan,
the Bus family.
But there's not a ton.
Well, I mean, we just rattled off 5 or 6.
Yeah, 5 or 6. You can name almost everyone in the NFL.
Yeah. Because their family handed down in certain instances.
Been there for 50, 60, sometimes even 80 years.
Yeah, but let me ask you this. Do you think before we got into the Ron Rivera situation, and yesterday we read the press release from David Tepper,
yeah.
Do you think the average football fan knew that David Tepper owned the Panthers, even though that just happened recently with Richardson?
I mean, New York, no. We as New Yorkers do because we know David Tepper from being in the hedge fund world up in here in New York, but no.
No,
you're probably
he would blend
right.
in. So probably,
and the franchise is only 20 years old.
That's true.
Right, so it's not like it's one of the 80, 90-year-old franchises like the Giants or the Bears. Or,
the who?
Except
Giants.
The Bears.
The Giants.
About the Giants,
your boy Eli's.
By the way,
back.
this is going to be must watch football.
I hope he plays well. I really hope Eli plays. I think he's going
to
play well.
I was just talking to Paul Schwartz. I mean, he writes for the New York Post. Like you brought this up right before he got benched, actually, and it was interesting because I didn't think about it until you brought it up, and Paul just said it to me, reiterated it. Eli basically was going to finish his career at 116.
I remember that.
Like he's 500, two Super Bowl champions, two Super Bowl MVPs, but he's 500 career quarterback, which is not losing. You're not a losing quarterback. And so if you're a Giants fan, and obviously you're ready to move forward, we know this story, you're not regurgitating that, but Daniel Jones has a high ankle sprain, and Eli has to start, and he's playing the Eagles on Monday Night Football. like, if you ever wanted to see a Giants win, like, if you're rooting hard for a Giants win, it's for this one.
Yeah.
Because you're going to, like, one of the things that's going to be in the broadcast, it has to be, if I'm the storyteller, if I'm doing this game.
It's Monday night, right?
It's Monday night. Book? Yeah, exactly.
All right, Book.
But if I'm doing this game, the story, because at the end of the day, doing a game is about crafting a story. The story is Eli and, you know, like what this means and he can finish his career over, you know, over 500 and there's like a nostalgia that's going to, it's going to jump into the Giant viewer's mind as they watch Eli take the snap again and, you know, try to lead this team to victory.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's not something that I think we expected or would have known to see where we thought we were going to be able to see this year, but it's become must-watch TV in my mind.
Although, and I agree. But I was also curious, you know, even if Daniel Jones doesn't get hurt, do the Giants give him a series, a half, a sequence of events.
That might have happened.
So here's the thing.
The problem is it's in Philly. It's not at home.
No, I know. But I'm saying at the end of the season.
Yeah,
maybe not against Philly. Like, if Daniel Jones is healthy, he plays Philly. He plays that game. And then
I
don't know if it's the penultimate game on the road or at home, whatever. But even if he loses this game 30-17, whatever, or even if he dips below 500, you know what? It's not going to matter. It's going to look little worse on profootballreference.com.
Yeah.
I got it. But for Giant fans, they're going to get a chance to sit down, especially the older fans, put back on. Well, they probably never took the Eli jersey off.
Mm-hmm.
But if they did, dust it off out of respect, put it back on, sit on the couch, and root for a guy that helped win them two championships.
That's right.
And even if they lose, it's almost inconsequential.
Yeah.
It's going to be 3 hours that they probably never thought they'd get again.
That's right.
Because they're going
to
be happy.
Because think about the vitriol. Like, bench him. Get rid of him. It's time to go.
They probably feel bad how they treated him.
Well, yeah. And it's all gone now. That's all faded.
100%.
It's a different like life that Eli
And there's no pressure because they're terrible.
That's right.
Pressure. So
the only thing that can happen is that if they're as they have been playing, it's like, okay, that's just how they are. There's not talent on the team right now. But if they go and mess around and win,
they're going to score points against the Eagles.
I mean,
he's going to get them in the end zone.
They're going to mess around
Miami
and win.
Scored against Philly.
And they're going to be like, Eli, we miss you. You know, it's going to be great.
Now, what if he plays so well?
He's still 38 years old.
Well, here's the thing, though. But it's an audition for next season. What if Eli, here's the thing.
If he wants to still play.
And nobody knows the answer to that question. He hasn't said it.
Nope.
He was doing the spot with Francesa for years. And, you know, he kind of anticipated that this might happen. Mike Francesa down the hall, FAN local.
Yep.
And he said, he's friends with Mike. They have a good rapport. But he's like, I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, because he
knew
Mike at some point
he'd treat Eli the way Mike treated Shermer.
But that's for sure. But he knew
Shermer quit the spot midseason.
I think he knew at some point he might be the backup.
That's what I'm saying.
And
so he said, I don't need this nonsense.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the story when I'm not playing. So he bowed out of the spot. My point is, though, if he started to reconcile in his mind, it's over. All right, I'm accepting it. I'm good with my career. And I'm going to retire a Giant because that means more to me being a lifetime Giant than it does being almost two decades with the Giants and 1 year with the Chargers or whomever. I mean, whatever the situation might be. The Bears. I don't know. The Panthers. But what if he goes out and he plays well?
Yeah.
Maybe he convinces himself, hey, I got a little juice here. I'm feeling a little refreshed. I haven't gotten popped in a month and a half. I'm feeling good.
Maybe.
Maybe he changes his mind and comes back.
Maybe.
Pushes Daniel Jones to the bench. All right, let's get to the blast here. Here we go.
So many topics, so little time. We give you five stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for The Blast with Tiki and Tierney.
All right, the Jaguars, they could move on. There's reports, speculation. Did you report this?
No, I did not. but we have speculated about this for a couple of years now.
There's reports that the Jaguars could move on from Doug Marrone, but not Nick Foles. That was also speculated.
Yeah.
So is it time for a new coach in Jacksonville?
It feels like it's getting to that point. And
it is.
Look, the team is... It's struggling on the offensive front, mainly because the line is porous. That's why Gardner Minshew is starting over Nick Foles. He's just more mobile. Leonard Fournette has turned his career, which felt like it was going south, around, and that's a good thing. But defensively, it feels like they're aging. Like the fire isn't there anymore. It might be time for a reset. You don't want to knock Doug Marrone too much, but it feels like it's time.
I think Doug Marrone's a relatively solid NFL coach. I don't think he is I don't think he's the kind of coach where he's truly a detriment on game day.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's the kind of coach that is truly a real, like, difference-making asset. So I think he's slightly above average, which means he'll probably have a job again. Maybe coaches in colleges. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe somebody else hires him in the NFL, but I think it's time the Jaguars move on, and I think they will. I think they really thought about it last year, but obviously Marone and Coughlin are tight. Heat and Celtics tonight. The Heat and the Celtics. Are we buying Miami yet? You know,
doesn't matter. I'm watching Man versus Bear.
That's true. Man versus Bear. Jimmy Butler is going to go against the Bear tonight. We got a special Man versus Bear on Discovery. Jimmy Butler and Kemba Walker are going to go 2-on-2 against Tank and Honey Bump. The Heat had a pretty nice win last night.
Yeah.
The Heat had a nice win last night. Am I buying the Miami Heat now? I got it. First of all, define buy. What? As the top four seed in the Eastern Conference? You want to go with that? Top four seed? With a chance to maybe get out of the East?
At this point, that's an easy buy. Safety. I'm talking about, at least it's an easy potential buy. I'm talking about like a contender out of the East.
I'm going to give them a puncher's chance because they could always add somebody. They're pretty good.
I'm going to say no until that happens. All right? Because, look, they're willing their way here because Jimmy Butler is this kind of guy.
They got some other players, too.
I know, but
Richardson's been playing.
I agree.
Well, you know.
But Jimmy Butler is that dude.
You know what I mean?
And so I give them that chance. But I think if they add a piece, mm-hmm. I definitely would be buying them. Right now, I'm in like pause mode to buying them. But I could easily be persuaded the other way.
Okay. USC, Tiki had the report the other day that USC is going to retain Clay Helton. And Tiki was right. Boy, Tiki is red hot this week. His predictions, his reports, the rent's ridiculous. It's uncanny. What are our thoughts that USC is retaining Clay Helton, Tiki? You broke the story.
Look, I don't think people are in love with Clay Helton as the USC head coach, but you do got to give the dude credit. He was fading fast last year and easily could have been replaced at the beginning of the season with all of the quarterback issues, injuries and whatnot, starting young players and just figuring it out on the fly. Yet here at the end of the season, they're in the top 25 and have changed their season and changed the perception. As you see, 8-4, 22 in the college football playoff ranking. So I think this is the right move. You got to give him credit for turning a very negative situation positive.
Listen, they have a different look and a different feel, and they're scoring almost 35 points a game, and that's what USC fans want to see.
That's right.
You know, they want the defensive pieces, and they've had a ton of defensive stars over the years, but they want to see an offense that moves the football and get in the end zone. They've been doing that for the most part. You know, throw almost 340 yards a game in the air, and as I said, almost 35 points a game. That's after a pedestrian start with some quarterback issues. Mm-hmm. It's a little surprising. Give the man credit.
Yep.
A lot of credit. He persevered. And stability, there's value in that.
Agreed.
One more year, I think I'm fine with that, actually. All right, Michigan's run in hoops comes to an end. They lost to, I saw a little bit of this last night, a little bit. They lost to number one Louisville. Can Juwan Howard take the program to new levels even Beilein didn't see? Oh, boy. I mean, you're talking about Beilein, who brought him to national championship games and won Big Ten titles and was always, you know, not always, but oftentimes in the mix for a one or a top line seed or second seed in the NCAA tournament. I mean, I'm not going to say that Juwan Howard's going to do that regularly because that's Hall of Fame stuff, and he very well might. But I will say that I don't think there's going to be a discernible drop-off.
No, I really don't. To answer the question specifically, can he take him to new levels? I think he can. I think he's a basketball man. He knows it, obviously, in and out. As a former player, and even though he's new on the college head coaching level, their recruiting classes have not been stellar. What Beilein was great at was taking inferior recruiting classes, 30, I think last year they were like 60-something, and turning and coaching them into good players. I think Juwan Howard, because of who he is and what his name means, attached to the University of Michigan brand, he's going to start getting some studs.
Yeah, he is.
And that's going to take them, just in and of itself, to a higher level. And then if he develops into that coach, I think he certainly can take this team to extraordinary heights. We'll see.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
All right, so tomorrow we'll start cranking up. It's almost week 14. I mean, tomorrow is week 14. Yeah, what do I mean almost? It is week 14.
Thursday night, you forget.
Wow. Week 14 is upon us here. This season has flown by. Good stuff. I got to tell you, I got to plug it. I got to tell you to check it out tonight, Man versus Bear. I know Tiki's watching.
I am.
D-Cell, you watching?
Nine.
Absolutely.
Santa, good. Are you going to break away from the real Hollywood wives or whatever you want? Are you going to watch Man versus Bear tonight?
I think 9 p.m. Eastern. If you forget, just go to our Twitter account. Samter's posted it on at Tiki and Tierney.
Oh, nice.
9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, Man versus Bear, BT. You didn't have a beard for that, did you?
Half a beard. I gotta keep them guessing. BTV. I like to look different.
Good luck,
every
brother.
Show. Thanks.
Can't wait to see it.
We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great night. Peace.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.